You're with SBS Radio.
I'm Maria and I'm a Wiradjuri person of New South Wales and I currently reside in Queensland, and I have been asked to speak a little bit about my passions, which I'm delighted to do. And my passions are art and painting my culture and enlightening non-Indigenous people of who I am and who we are as a people through the narrative of my artworks, the story behind, of course, and the visual. And my other passion, of course, is supporting non-Indigenous people in their cultural competency and enlightening people of who we are and how to work alongside our people and collaborate with us. And I'm also passionate about supporting organisations to strengthen their cultural understanding of who we are, to create culturally appropriate and responsive and safe workspaces for their Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander team members.
How does that work? So do you go to a company and tell them, okay, this is how you work, or this is what you should do, you shouldn't do?
Yeah, sure. It depends on what the company is after. Sometimes there might be just a little business. So I've been asked to work with a gallery here in Queensland, and they asked me, how do we engage our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community members to participate more in their gallery? So that's a bit different. But I might be also asked to work with a national organisation, which I do now. I work for support two national organisations in implementing their Reconciliation Action Plan and supporting their teams. They're writing policies, all sorts of things. So there's quite a lot. So if it's a bigger organisation, I would be then engaged to maybe do a cultural audit and find out how they, where they may have Aboriginal people in their organisation, whether they're at leadership or middle management or whereabouts through. Have a look through their organisation and ways of practising to see if they're culturally appropriate and culturally safe for their Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander workers. Yeah, so there's quite a lot involved, and I can do, like a smaller sort of a job or a larger sort of a job depending on the organisation and who I work with.
And what are the main misconceptions you meet along the way?
Main misconceptions. I find with organisations, I find a lot of ticker box approaches. And what I mean by that is an organisation will want to be culturally inclusive, and on their front advertising or on their website, they will use a stock image of an Indigenous person, and they won't even have a relationship or the knowledge of who that person is. So I find that's a bit of a ticker box approach. So I think it's important to build connections and ask one of the Aboriginal people who you might be supporting or working with if they wouldn't mind sharing a photo of them. So it becomes a lot more authentic and more real, rather than just trying to look like you're culturally appropriate and have all these wonderful connections. And the other thing I mean by ticker box approach as well is, an email signature. Take an extra step further and find out whose lands that you're actually operating your business on, and recognise the language group, the traditional language group, and mention that in your email. So I guess something's better than nothing, but just to be more authentic and more real and delve further so you have a greater cultural appreciation and knowledge of who we are and where you're operating your business.
When do you think the change came? When did companies start to look at this issue, when they started to want to be culturally appropriate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's been developing and changing over the last decade, I'd say, because people are wanting to know, especially now with the hashtag Black Lives Matter. It's created a lot of people to be wanting to understand and know us and who we are as a people. And I think a lot of people are afraid to actually ask questions because they don't want to offend. They're really keen. I think non-Indigenous people are really keen and passionate to learn and understand, but they're not sure how to approach us, how to go about building those relationships. I think there's a big shift, there's a big change, especially with Reconciliation Australia and the wonderful work that they're doing with Reconciliation Action Plans and Narragana Wileys in schools. That's the School Reconciliation Action Plan. So businesses, a lot of businesses these days are doing a Reconciliation Action Plan and really passionate about having more Indigenous team members on and joining in the celebrations, our significant events annually, you know, NAIDOC Week and National Reconciliation Week. So they're really wanting to learn and know more about our culture and nurture that. But yeah, there's a shift, and it's going to take some time, but there's a shift, and that's the positive.
You are also an artist, so I was thinking this also will have to do lots of with art, but it seems it has to do more sort of with the working with the human resources teams and the companies.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts from top. I think unless you have Aboriginal people in the decision-making and they can be in leadership roles, I don't think there's going to be a lot of change. So there needs to be Aboriginal people in all areas of the workforce, particularly on boards. I'm fortunate to be a director on a board here in Queensland to support, implement the Reconciliation Action Plan and just strengthen the organisation that way. Of course, I'm not in the organising side of things, but I'm at the implementing and making sure at the top level. So that's where Aboriginal people need to sit, boards, directors, CEOs or equal part CEOs or in leadership. So then that trickles down, their knowledge and guidance trickles through the organisation.
And how does it look in a company when your work is done, when you're leaving the company? Like, how does the ideal case scenario look?
I don't know if there is an ideal. I think we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey of sharing who we are in our culture with non-Indigenous people. So it takes some time. We all have different worldviews, you see. So, and then of course Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people. I would never speak for who they are. I'm an Aboriginal person for sure, but my culture is different to another Aboriginal person's culture. Wiradjuri, and then against Turrbal people in Queensland, Yagra people in Queensland, or down on the Central Coast, Darkin young people's lands. I would never try and assume or speak for their culture and them as a people. So we all have individual cultures, and that's up to the organisation to learn who we are. So engage with your local Aboriginal community organisation, the Lands Council, and find out more about the people on the lands you're operating your business. Know more that way. Get engaged. Say, hey, you know, we've been running our business here for so many years. We really want to know more about who you are. Tell us more.
Is this unique in Australia, or are companies across the globe looking at connecting to the Indigenous people in their region or in the place they're operating from?
Yeah, you know, Sakura, I actually probably can't answer that very well because I'm not sure what's happening worldwide. I do know that there's the worldwide organisation for Indigenous peoples. I read you know, information there, so I'm sure that their organisations are trying to do this, especially now, you know, with the hashtag Black Lives Matters. I'm sure that more organisations across the globe are wanting to learn more from the Indigenous peoples of their lands.
And how is it working? Are the organisations approaching you, or are you approaching them?
Yeah, well, I work nationally at the moment for and support two organisations in their culture, competency and appreciation. And that's just a small part of my role. I am desiring to set out my own business to do this because that's my passion. I'm just so passionate about supporting non-Indigenous people and businesses just to become stronger and empower them to understand who we are and help them, because They don't have, as I mentioned earlier, they don't necessarily have an understanding of how to go about doing these things. And that's where my passion is. I love to gently nurture people in their understanding, you know, because there is no wrong. If you don't know, you don't know. So there is no wrong in asking a question. And that's where I come in. I work with people, support people's greater understanding. Yeah, shame on people if they don't follow through with what I've supported them and taught them, but that's not the case. People are willing. People are wanting to learn. And yeah, that's what I love to do.
It's great. And you said you also like to empower people through your art, telling your stories. So can you tell us a little bit more about your art as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I love to do that. That's one of my passions with my art, is to get out my culture. I find a connection to my art, and it reminds me of where I grow up on Wiradjuri country. So I tend to paint a lot of waterholes, rivers, billabongs, creeks and streams because of my connections to them and with those rivers and those environments when I was growing up as a young child. So for us going to the rivers or the waterholes or where we may have been going as a family was like going to the grocery store. My father would be so knowledgeable in where to go and get the right, get food, get fish, get yabbies, get yams, get honey, gathering honey from the honey sacks. He was just so knowledgeable, and those things really resonated with me and then are innate to who I am now, to this person, to today. So I really like to paint those in my stories. Also with my job, I work nationally, traveling, working nationally and supporting Indigenous communities with different things that I'm doing on the project that I work on. Everywhere I go and everywhere I travel, I'm learning more from other Indigenous people across the country and the environment that I see. That all shapes who I am as a person, and it shapes my artwork as well. So, yes, it's forever evolving. Like my learnings, so are my artworks. They're forever evolving.
When we were speaking before, you told me that your canvas are extremely large.
Oh, yeah. Some of my artworks are like the size of queen size beds, that size. Some are small, but I feel like I can't express myself properly or to the full extent when I'm on tight constraint, tight, small canvas. So I really like to go for it on a really large canvas. I'll share some pictures with some people.
Well, thank you so much on sharing with us on NITV Radio.
Yeah, it's my privilege. Thank you so much.
That was Maria Watson-Tredget, Wiradjuri woman, artist and culture consultant. Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.